In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't it great that the three kings have made their way from that window right here since Christmas? Isn't that terrific that they've got there? I've got a little story to tell you first. It was the day after Christmas at St. Peter and St. Paul's Church in Borden in Kent in England. Have you ever been to that church? Father John, who was the vicar at the time, was looking at the nativity scene outside when he noticed the baby Jesus was missing from the figures. Immediately, Father John's thoughts turned to calling in the local policeman. But as he was about to do so, he saw little Nathan with a red truck. And in the truck was the figure of the baby Jesus. Father John went up to Nathan and he said to him, "Well, Nathan, where did you get that from?" Nathan looked up, smiled and replied, "I took him from the church." "And why did you take him?" With a sheepish grin, Nathan said, "Well, Father John, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to Lord Jesus. I told him if he would bring me a red truck for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block in it." Now, two things struck me about that story. The first is that Nathan kept his promise. He kept the promise he'd made to Jesus. And second, Nathan was not afraid to show Jesus to the neighbourhood. Isn't that wonderful? Now, last Tuesday, we celebrated New Year's Day, and some people made some New Year's resolutions. Some promises, maybe to lose some weight this year, do more exercise, keep in closer touch with family and friends. It's a good time to review our lives. Don and I tend to do this every year. We sort of review the year gone by and what have been the highlights for us, what have we learnt from the year, and what are our plans for the coming year. But what I've found is that it's really helpful to let other people know what our promises are. It's an added incentive to keep them because our friends and our loved ones keep us accountable, don't they? "I thought you said you were going to go for a walk every morning. You want to go this morning? Did you go yesterday?" It's good, isn't it? Maybe. Today we also celebrate the Feast of Epiphany. Epiphany is from the Greek, epiphaino, which means to be manifested, to be revealed, to show light. Our celebration of the Epiphany today refers to the appearance of Jesus. And the significance of this day is not just the arrival of the Magi to adore the newborn King of the Jews, but the revelation to the Gentiles, that is, to everybody else. Epiphany is the event that recognizes Jesus' rule over the entire world and celebrates his revelation as the Son of God. The wonderful reading we've heard today from Matthew's Gospel focuses on the Magi. And Karen talked a bit about that for us at Christmas. Who were they? It's generally believed they came from the east, probably Persia. The translation of Magi in Matthew is wise men. Psalm 72, we heard this morning, led to the belief that they were kings. An alternative translation calls them astrologers. We don't even know how many there were. We assume there were three because the Bible talks of three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tradition has even given names to the wise men: Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. Isn't that great? Now, these wise men embarked on a journey after seeing the light, which they deduced as revealing of the coming of the child who would be the leader of the people of Israel. Now, as people of God, we are all on a journey, a spiritual journey, a journey that lasts a lifetime. It starts when we're born, then we go through several rites of passage. As Christians, we are baptized and confirmed. Many of us will be married. Some of us will be ordained. And at the end of our journey on this earth, we begin another journey. And as we say in the funeral service, in friendship with God's saints, aided by the holy angels, may you rest in the peace and love of your eternal home. So our journey continues. Is this what our spiritual journey is all about? Going through these rites of passage? No, it's not just that. There's much more than just a passive existence, which is having things done to us. The Epiphany story we heard today offers us insight into a set of active stages along the way of the spiritual journey. For those of you who want to take notes, there are 6 stages. There'll be a test. First, these wise people had been studying. They knew their history. They hadn't merely stumbled onto this momentous event. They'd searched their own past and their sacred texts, and the result of their study was an openness, a readiness to recognize the sign when it appeared. Second, these scholarly folk didn't keep their noses in books all the time. They were also keen observers of the world around them. Without those 2 characteristics, knowing the prophecies and being observant of their contemporary world, the Epiphany might well have been missed by them. Third, they were willing to seek confirmation of what they'd learned and seen. They moved, put their feet, or perhaps their camel's feet, in motion to follow this sign. They took a risk on being proved wrong or right. Fourth, they were willing to ask directions on the way, even if they were wrong in their choice of resources, in this case, Herod. Fifth, having found the confirmation of their convictions, the child with Mary, his mother, they responded with all the gratitude they could muster. Sixth, after seeing the child and having all their hopes realized, they still remained vigilant and attentive, open to further visions and insight, and thus they were responsive to their dream-delivered warning to go home by another road. Our spiritual journey can too often be treated without the respect and therefore the discipline it needs to mature into spiritual adulthood. If we're to use this gospel account as a model for a deeper encounter with Christ, we must begin with motivated and devoted study. Study of scripture, devotional materials, study groups, prayer groups, worship and meditative practices are all ways of devoting ourselves to deeper understanding of the roots that make us ready for epiphanies. There is a danger, however, that burying ourselves in study can become too detached. We must also be attentive to what's going on in the immediate world, local and national, cultural and familial, earthly and heavenly. At some point, what's happening in the present may correlate with what we've found in our study. Then it's time to move with anticipation, cautious optimism, and with some skepticism to see what's coming together, not unlike what the wise men did so long ago. As we travel by foot, by camel, by car, or in our minds, it's very important to seek guidance along the way. No one of us, not even any small group of us, can know it all. The wise ones in their encounter with Herod show us that it's important to seek help. It's possible we may be wrong in our choice of help. However, mistakes in making our choices should not tempt us to withdraw and rely entirely on ourselves. Now, excitement is not out of place on the journey. An epiphany is not something to be hidden. It's something to be shared. In fact, if we're inclined to hide an epiphany as if it was something of a private possession to be protected, then there's a reason to question whether it's a genuine epiphany at all. Spiritual maturity is to be open and generous. It triggers eagerness to share. The wise men again are our model for giving generously of our gifts. Of course, there's always the temptation to assume that once a discovery has been made, once a high spiritual moment has been experienced, that we remain focused on that moment, that achievement, and go no further on our journey. There may even be the temptation to presume there is no need for further consultation with others. But the wise men, still open, continued to listen and were obedient in respecting the warning they received to go home by another way. We too need to be careful about falling into arrogance as if there were no more to learn. Our spiritual journey is a lifelong journey. Its beginning is acknowledged publicly in the service of baptism with the words, "God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father." A candle is then lighted from the Paschal candle, the light of Christ, which we light on Easter morning. And that candle is then given to the one being baptized. Truly, a moment of epiphany. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were always open and willing to shine as a light in the world? Wouldn't the world be a better place? We don't necessarily have to walk around our neighbourhood with the figure of the baby Jesus in a red truck, but we can allow the light of Jesus to shine from us in everything we say and do. Another way we can remind ourselves of the Epiphany, revealing Christ to others, is by following the Eastern tradition, where people write a blessing on the lintel above their door, so that everyone who enters and leaves by that door is blessed by Christ. Now, I thought that was a marvellous idea, and I've shared this with people, and especially the people in the village where I live, and we all have this above the lintel on our door. And I'm going to give you that this morning, so you can write it on the lintel above your door, maybe on your neighbour's door, your friend's doors. And the most wonderful thing about it is that when people see this written above the door, they'll say, "What does that mean?" And you can explain it to them, therefore explaining about God, epiphanies, all of that stuff. It gives you an opportunity to tell people about Christ. Now, what happens is this. I have an envelope for each of you. In this envelope is a piece of chalk. Written on the envelope is this. 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 19. It's not gobbledygook. It's the year, 2019, on the outside. Inside of that is C, M and B. Now, that's the initials of the wise men. Caspar, Melchior and Balthazar. But more importantly, it's a blessing in Latin, which is Christus Mansionem Benedicat. Christ bless the house. So that's what it means. So everyone who goes into your house by that door and out again during this year is blessed. So please do take one of these as you leave today. Write it on all the doors that go in and out of your house where people go. And encourage your neighbours and friends to do the same. Explain to them that they are all blessed by Christ and that your house is blessed by Christ. And I pray that all of our places, everywhere we go, will be blessed by the light of Christ. Amen.